When it comes down to it, doing things God's way is what our flesh fights. Think about your life. The things that you fight are God's way often, and what God wants to accomplish. I don't know about you, but I like the easy road. I like it to be a little bit easier. In fact, when it is easy, I'm just so thankful that God's way is easy. But oftentimes, the easy road is not God's way, and we fight it. One of the most important parts of doing things God's way is worship only God. That's one of the most important parts of doing things His way, is worshiping only Him. So today, to begin this topic, we have a friend of mine, and she is a person that I've grown to respect as I've gotten to know her at the workplace where I get to be her chaplain. Amina is a delight in the office where she works. If you've already met her this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That spirit is always there, and I've seen her the passionate love she has for Christ spread throughout the office. I've heard her pray in the office or in the break room. And the best way that I can describe it is there's a window that seems to open when she begins to pray. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's a beautiful thing, and it's not something that she takes pridefully. It's obvious that there's something deeper that's happening in her life when she prays and when she talks about Christ. And that is because of where she's been, what she's been through, what she's come from. Mina, you're our sister in Christ, and we're so grateful to have you with us today. Mina, come on up. Share with us what the Lord has put on your heart. God bless you.
Thank you, John.
We're so glad.
Thank you so much. We have a moment. I just want to thank you.
Make sure you're on here.
Sorry.
Yeah, just push it. There you go.
Pastor John, I really deeply appreciate your faith in God and calling the God's has on your life that brought us to meet in the workplace is a wonderful opportunity that God's connect His body together to magnify His holy name. And I just want to say that Pastor John has such an influence in our workplace, and we thank God for him that he has chosen to do what he is doing today. And there is best yet to come for John, Pastor John and his family and this church. When I walk in this place, I felt the Holy Spirit that this is just the beginning. You may just came at month of May. It's a God's grace that the month of May, I will show you the glory of God going to pour out this church. I will bring the hungry to this church. I will bring the people that desire Him, to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. This is just the beginning. Thank you for your obedience and inviting me. I'm very humbly overwhelmed. I am not a person to get to the crowd. Forgive me if I'm a little nervous, but Holy Spirit is with me, and He guides me, and He speaks through me for His glory in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. As Pastor John said, my name is Mina. I was raised and born in Iran. It's a Muslim country that all they know is how to worship God through people, because it's a false prophecy. There is a false prophet that teaching the word, and people are depending on people to get where they need to go in life. But nothing ends except to the darkness. I found all this because growing up as a Muslim, I used to just do rituals, whatever my parents and my grandparents, whatever they taught me. It got to the point after I graduated from high school. In the Muslim country, the families are like marriages happen through arranged marriage. I had an arranged marriage by my parents that I was forced to marry this man. And for 5 years battling this situation, my family was very discouraged. And I had to do a lot of, you know, my mother was, is this country Muslim, they depend on things of man would do, because they don't have a relationship with real God. They have not found truth. The truth is found through people. Whatever Muhammad, the leader of the Muslim, have spoken, that's what they follow. And all the prayers that being lifted up is through the people. And they pray to people to receive healing, receive breakthrough, and nothing happens. And one incident that I had that caused me to be distressed was when my mother took me with her to a mullah, is a religious person that tells your fortune, is it like a fortune teller. And he told my mother that I had a spell on me, and there's the reason that I'm not getting married is because it's been blocked. And that just destroyed my whole belief in Muslim, because I felt so innocent. You know, I felt so innocent. Why would someone would do this spell on me? Why would want to do harm me? I couldn't understand. Growing up, we don't have a spiritual guidance. We don't have any relationship with God, you know? It is some book that called Quran is being copycat from the Bible. Majority, the words are copycat. But they don't have no guidance to find who has written this book. They claim it for themselves. And because of that, I was in a desperation. My mother take me through a lot of ritual things to break the spell and all this, and nothing would get any better. It was getting worse, 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 worse. One night, I was just desperate, so desperate. And I just cry out, and I just say, God, where are you? Why things are happening to me? What have I done that I deserve this? And I said, if you really exist, you're out there. Please come help me get me out of this mess. I fell asleep, and in my dream, there was two water pools, clear water, one on the left side, one on the right side. There was a man standing behind the pool that was in the left side. It was a leader of the Muslim, Muhammad, and I knew him. And there was another man on the right side behind the pool, standing from head to toe, covered with a white, shiny linen. And beyond his head, it was so bright light that I could not see his face. And then I just looked to the both sides, left and right, and the man on the right, he just reached out his hands like this. Follow me. Two words. Follow me. And then I just went towards the light, and I woke up. That dream didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know any better what that meant. And I shared it the next day with my mother. My mother doesn't know. He said, just tell it to the running water. It's just funny when I think about it, how rituals, things, our mind has been built up and brainwashed with all false teachings. And this dream is just really actually started something in me. It gave me such a boldness to stand before my father and my mother and say, this is not life I want. I do not want to get married to this man, and you have to let go of me. My father and mother disowned me. They said, you're not a child. You're just talking nonsense. What's happening to you? But deep inside, something was staring that wants me to get out of this marriage, does not want me to abide with it. And I said, you have to let go of me. I told my father, you have to release me. My father was in oil company. He was a man, was a very bright mind to travel different countries and through his work. And he knew what he was about to come over the country, Iranian, because the revolution at that time was happening and change was taking place, that religious people come into the country. Before that was king and queen. And after the release of the king and queen, and religious people took over. And my father was smart enough to allow my older sister to travel to America before anything happened. I believe that God's hands, God was over our family in the beginning, from our mothers when God has ordained us, called us, positioned us for the greater thing. You know, it's a heart that we have inside God's heart. It would connect, and it might be dormant in your life, but when you grow up, you find that in the beginning, when you was born, it was in you, that God's put into you, that gifting, in that calling. What it is in you, but it has to cultivate to the time. Many years pass by, you grow, and you feel, oh, there's something in me. It's telling me, I got to do this. I got to listen to that. I got to go there. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know any of this. So went to this transformation because of the dream. Now look back that my dad, after a year fighting with that because they really wanted me to marry this man and stay in the country and have kids, and they would be happy. But God has another plan for me. And when I asked him where he was or who, if he exists, I believe that man was Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel. He came to rescue me when I called up his name. I asked God, when you question him, because he is waiting for every one of us to question him, where are you, God? I can't see you. I can't feel you. I can't. I need you. I need help. When is it? I was in my desperate time of my life. When I called up him, he was the only one that answered me. And he came to my dream, said, follow me. I didn't know what that means, follow me. It stuck to my head since. I always follow me. What does that man mean to follow him? Who is he? And after a year, finally, God had to work my father's heart, and he decided, that's what is happening. I have to let go of her. And he bought my visa. It's hard. In Muslim countries, it's not easy to get the visa and leave the country. They want you to be captured in their mentality. And finally, after a year, I went to Germany and traveled alone and not knowing what was ahead. But I know that journey that I took, and I said yes, and went towards the light. Later on, I find that that was the direction God was calling me, to find me. I had to go through the struggles, ups and downs a lot, to find him alone that I needed. He was carrying me, the God that I never knew. He was there with me that I didn't know. He was walk with me. I didn't even sense him because I didn't know him. And I came to Germany after 6 months trying to get the visa and stay, and they refused me. I didn't have any chance that I had to save my life and not to go back. After 6 months, you have to go back if you don't get your visa renewed. And I became refuge to German embassy, and I gave up my nationality, and I came, stayed with in the camp for 4 months, and that's the dark place that I went to. I never experienced love in this. I always grew up in my family loving and, you know, didn't know anything else. And my eyes were being opened to the world, what a world is about. God is showing me, this is a world and I'm sending you to. And I didn't know. And after 2 years battling for visa and becoming German nationality, and I went to court and they refused me. And I had to go back home. The only chance I had to survive and stay, not to go back to that dark place, was to get married. And I just closed my eyes and whoever came in my way. And I chose to, one of the friends that I came close with, said, the only chance you have is just get married. And that's what, when I married a man, he was the American soldier, and he was lost himself. He got away from his family, went to the army, finding life and making life. And as I was introduced by the friend, I got married without knowing who he was, and closed my eyes and say, okay, here's my destiny. Start a life, and at least I'm not going back home. I sacrificed that because I didn't want to go to that place anymore. And when I get married with this man, his name was Michael, And we came to the United States after 2 years, and we had a child named Michael also. Michael II. He is 30 years old now. And it's a blessing from the father, but the marriage didn't last long because he didn't know the Lord. My husband didn't know the Lord, and I didn't know the Lord. But walking in like a blind is leading blind, but the life was very hard. Marriage was hard, didn't last long. And 4.5 years later, I was divorced by him and had my son. And by that time, my brother was in Oklahoma, came and got me, and my new life started. What's exactly happening was back of my mind, knowing that man that said, follow me. And I always thought, okay, what he does mean by that? I always question that. What does it mean to follow him? Where am I supposed to go? Where am I going to meet him? And I had it in my mind all the time. And after my divorce, rest of my family also left the country in different timing. And by that time, my older sister, my brother, and younger sister also in the United States. My whole family left the country after that. And my parents right now living in Fort Worth, and they know the Lord. Praise God. Majority of my family knows the Lord except my brother yet. And God has a plan for him, I know. And one day in Oklahoma when I was staying with my brother, me and my sister took my son and my nephew for swimming by Lake Marie in Ardmore, Oklahoma. And as they were playing by the shore, each one has a little kit tube, those plastic tubes that they play on the water. And as they were swimming, my son just floating on the water, and I was sitting with my sister watching for him. And all of a sudden, the wave of the water just took him away. I didn't know how far was he from the shore. And as I was just talking to my sister, when I turned around, I did not see my son on the tube. I just start running into the water. I don't even swim. I'm afraid of water. And I just run into it because my only child is under the water, and I don't know where he is. The water was so muddy, I couldn't see him. I just keep going further and further and panicking and scared. And as I was taking every step, the bottom of my feet was getting deeper, and I'm going down myself. Then when I was in Germany, back it out, how I found out who was in my dream was, I believe God brought me to this woman of God that, excuse me, it was a neighbor, and she was a vessel that God's used to help me understand the dream. I shared my dream with her, and she took me to a Catholic church, and I saw a woman in the altar carrying a baby, and I asked her, who is that woman? He says, Mother Mary. Do you know the baby? I said, no. He says, Jesus. And I was like, okay. And after that she took me to the church, I shared my dream, and she said, do you know who was that man in your dream? I said, no, I have no clue. He said, that's the Jesus. That's Jesus, the Son of God. Came to visit you. He came to rescue you. You asked for him, didn't you? I said, yes, in my dream I asked who was God. And I've never thought that God would ever care about me. Someone in that country who God said, we never talk to God. We don't have a relationship. How can he just come to me? And when he said that his name was Jesus, I knew the name Jesus. That man was Jesus. Then when this incident happened, as I was going to the water, I couldn't find my son. By faith, I used that name. I said, Jesus, help me. As soon as I called out his name, I felt the energy go through my body from head to toe. And the light came in front of my eyes. As it was moving around, I felt both of my son's ankle, a holy grab of them. And by the power of God that was in me, I start kicking my legs like a fish. And I'm holding him and pushing towards the shore. And my sister pulling out. And I let go of myself. Only thing I care about to save my son, only child. I didn't care about myself. And then I let go of myself. As I went down, I felt the coldness. My body was frozen. And the darkness came in front of my eyes. I couldn't see anything. And I was just going down. Because I knew that if I just let go, who's going to take care of my son? I was just, those thoughts of, my son needs me. And for a second time, I said, Jesus, help me. Again, the light came in front of my eyes. I felt the tingling go through my whole body. And I felt such energy in me that I could move and swim like a fish. And I just came out of the water and took the breath. And that night was Wednesday evening that took place. And when I got to my apartment that day, God sent two pastors to my door. And my son having a high fever, sleeping. And knock on the door, said, if he can come in. I said, no, I have a sick child. I can't. But they said, can we come back another 2 weeks? And what's his name? We will go pray for him. And they went to church and prayed for Michael. It didn't take even 30 minutes. He got off the bed. He was just like never had a fever. And then 2 weeks later, they came. One of them came, the youth pastor, and sat down and talked to me and shared Jesus with me. And I shared my testimony with him. And he invited me to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Armour, Oklahoma. And there I start. This is the Bible he ordered me. This is the Bible. He's the man that led me to Christ. I read this book many times. Every time I read it, I felt that presence again. His word is alive in us. He's the breath that we take every day. Without his breath, we can't live. He's the breath that is sustain us for life. After that, I was hungry for the word. And I read the word, and it's just transformed me to the way I was thinking. And bringing life to us. I said, about a month later, so, well, if this is God, through God, can give life, there's nothing else that he cannot do. There is life or death. If he give you life, there is nothing else that I can ask that will not give it to me. I want to follow this God. A month later, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I got baptized in water and the Spirit. And that is testimony of God I never knew. All along, I came through the hardship of life, and he was beside me, and I didn't know it. But God is so faithful. Doesn't matter how much we don't sense him, we don't feel him, but he's there. Because we have a blockage in life. Every day we try to overcome obstacles, but we turn to the wrong directions to overcome, because he is the source. If you don't have anything to say, just say his name. He knows what you are thinking, what is in your heart, and he guides you and leads you to the truth. And this morning in my prayer, I asked the Lord, give me the word. What do you want me to share? He brought me to Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does it mean to follow me? Now it's really bright for me what those two words was when he said that, follow me. It's pick up a cross daily, die to self. Die to self as he did, die to himself for sake of us to be saved with reconcile me to the Father and have a relationship with the Father, Heavenly Father. God has created us to have a relationship with Him. And He desires us deeply, love us deeply. That love sustains us to eternity, to come back to Him again. But this world is so dark. This world is so distracting. But if we stay abide in Him, He abides in us. That's the key, to abide in Him with Jesus Christ. That sustains you for life, eternal. And He keeps you in the right direction where you need to go. And by reading His word, abide in Him and clinch to Him. We have to clinch to Him, hold on to Him. Doesn't matter what comes every day. You're asking Jesus, help me. That's all you have to say. He knows exactly what you're going through. It's just to go to Him first before you can, to your best friend, to your mother, to your father, to your co-workers, to anybody. Go to Him first, because He is the in beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. If the Word is God, when you read this word, you're creating atmosphere of a miracle in your life. It becomes miracle in every circumstances that you're dealing with. You'll be overcomer because He have overcome for us. Today we can proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord, because what He has done, the price has been paid for every one of us by the precious blood of Jesus, that we are saved today. We take that for granted. The meaning of a cross, to walk with Him, talk with Him, to have a relationship with Him, to have an intimacy with the Father who desires us deeply. Oh Lord, we come before You with a repentant heart, in reverence and awe of You, Lord. We lay it at Your feet, Lord. Every hindrance that keeps us away from You, having a relationship with You, we ask You, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and take those resistance, that we can know You better, draw closer to You, Lord. Fulfill us for the calling that You have on our life. Each individual that have been called by You, You call them by their name, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, what You're doing in this atmosphere, Holy Spirit. Speak to every heart. Thank You, Father. The hungry comes to eat from Your table. The thirsty come drink from Your water. They're never going to be thirsty again. Thank You, Lord, that living water is inside of us, Lord. You are our living water. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank You, praise You, worship You, honor You, glorify Your holy name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy is Your name. Holy is Your name. We magnify Your holy name. In Christ's name, amen.
Wow, wasn't that just beautiful? Sorry, that's what happens when we have a wedding and we get things changed up. So thank you so much, Mina. What a beautiful, beautiful word. The concept to just understand that she was raised in a religion with another god, a copycat. And then Jesus found her. And He listened to her prayer from a land that is not godly. It's just beautiful. And understanding that Jesus is trying to reach all of those people in Iran and Turkey and all of those surrounding, all the stands where all of the Muslims are. I tell you, there's a lot going on. A lot more than we realize. You know, our brother Dale Van Steenis, I've been over there with him, and we've trained way before 9/11. We've been training the Muslims over there that come to Christ and go back out into those countries to start churches and to reach the lost. And it's just absolutely amazing. And to hear personal interaction of God with a woman, one woman, just one. It's awesome, isn't it? What a beautiful thing. And so when God says, worship me and me alone, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm the only one. And I'm really the only one that cares about you. Even if there were others, I'm the only one that really cares about you. And there's not others. He says, beside me, there is none else. I am the only God. So when you worship another God, you're kind of insane. Because you're worshiping nobody. Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So he's talking about worship. This is your true and proper worship. Now, the verse starts with therefore, and anytime you see a therefore there, you got to find out why the therefore is there. What's it there for? So that means we got to back up and look and see what he said before that. The chapter before that, Paul was talking about in chapter 11, God's mercy on us. Wouldn't you say he had mercy on Mina? Beautiful mercy. His mercy, he's talking about God's plan. He's talking about including the Jews in that. That's mercy, considering what the Jews did and how they rejected him. And he's talking about having mercy on them even through all of that. And he ends the chapter with these beautiful words, and these words that really just put God into a place where if we listen to them and understand them, how big he is, how awesome he is, and the word we use is magnify. You've ever heard the songs about magnify the Lord? What does that mean? It means make him bigger in your head. You can't really make him bigger, but you can make him bigger in your mind. Bigger than your problems, bigger than your struggles. What is that? It's worship. He says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God's ways, in other words, are far beyond what we can imagine. His love is far beyond what we can imagine. Look at what he was doing in just one person's life. His love is far beyond what we can imagine. God's not looking for some masses. He's not looking for a big crowd. He is looking for individuals that he can have a personal relationship with him. And he says, worship me and only me because I'm the only God. Oh, the depth and riches and the wisdom and love of and knowledge of God. And then he says how unsearchable his judgments. In other words, you're not going to always understand God's judgments. God always makes the right call. God always makes good judgment. He always does what's good. And then he says, and his paths beyond tracing out. In other words, you're not going to be able to really look and see why God did what he did. You can easily follow a person's line of thinking. Why? Because you're a human. And a person has eyes and ears just like you. You can say, okay, they did this because they went here and saw this and they heard this and they read this book and they saw this program and that's why they did this. But you cannot begin to trace what God did. You can't begin to understand his judgments and what he's accomplished and why he did things the way he did them. Why? Because God sees everything. God knows everything. We don't know it. We don't understand everything the way God sees it. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God has to repay him? Nobody. For from him and through him and for him are all things. That includes you. You were created for him to bring him glory. To him be glory forever. Man, that's beautiful. Now, so because of all of that, we come to the therefore. Because he's so big, because he's so awesome, because he's so amazing, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So it used to be required that people would bring sheep and goats to offer them to God, and that was worship. They would slaughter the sheep, they'd slaughter the goats, and present them as a sacrifice to God. It had to be their best. It was their best. They weren't supposed to hold anything back when it came to offering this sacrifice. They had to bring their best sheep. They had to bring their best goat. So the point is this. This is what God was expecting them to say. God, you're everything. God, you're everything. God, I hold nothing back from you. I give you my best. God, if I give you everything, I know that I've got everything because you're all I need. That's what it was. Reasonable worship to God. You're everything. You're my everything, God. So I'm willing to count all things lost so that I can, because everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness to you is a wonderful thing. He says, I know who my Redeemer is. I know that you've bought me with a price, and it was worth losing everything if that's what it took to have you. That's making yourself a living sacrifice. Went fishing with Dad the other day, and I've hurt my left arm. So setting the hook with my left arm is not an option anymore. So I had to get a different rod or a different reel, and now I have to fish with my right hand. It's not the easiest thing. Anybody ever tried that? Fishing with the other hand? I've been fishing for 49 years with his left arm. I feel like a fish out of water. I have to set the hook, and then I have to reel, and I feel like this is the most awkward thing in the world. And you know, sometimes when we come to Christ, it's a change. It's a difference. When you come to Christ and you begin worshiping Him instead of somebody else, instead of something else, or instead of a car, instead of yourself, it's awkward and it takes practice. I know a good 2 or 3 more fishing trips, I'll be fishing just right. But it takes practice, it takes time, it takes effort for you to begin to make the transformation of worshiping God. You say, well, I didn't worship another God before I came to Jesus. I wasn't like Mina. You did worship somebody. You worshiped somebody. Most often it's ourselves. And Paul said this, because this is who God is and because of what God has done, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your true and proper worship. The King James Version says it this way, it's your reasonable service. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable service. He's saying, offer yourself to God in light of who He is and what He's done. It's reasonable. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. In other words, feel the pain of serving God. Feel the pain. Do it to the pain. You ever done something to the pain? Have you worshiped God to the pain? Paul said, hey, you haven't even shed blood to the point. You haven't even worked and fought against sin to the point of shedding blood. You've got to serve Him to the pain. You've got to love Him to the pain. When you come to church and you see people raising their hands and worshiping Him, that's not because that's natural. They've chosen to do that and worship to Him. And for some of us, it's to the pain. Okay, God, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to worship you in a way that other people can see. That's pain. Have you worshiped Him to the pain? When you hear someone telling someone about Jesus and their love for Jesus, what are they doing? They're declaring publicly to the pain sometimes. If you've never talked about Jesus in public, it hurts sometimes. Anybody ever been there? You feel like you're going to get rejected. When's the last time you worshiped Him to the pain? When you see a man or a woman who've been married for a long time and they're honoring God in that marriage, they've both offered themselves to Him as a living sacrifice and they're serving God through each other to the pain. That's worship. Anybody have pain? Don't answer that question. You see, showing the world what true commitment in our lives looks like sometimes is painful and it's difficult. Surely by now that woman is tired of that man at some level. Surely by now he can see through her and see the struggles and problems she's got by now. But instead, they still love one another to the pain. And why? Because they love God and they worship him in that relationship. When you see a husband who's become a caregiver to his wife, you better think about that. If he's doing it because he loves God, that's a big deal. Did you know that more than 75%, and in some cases I've read more than 90% of caregivers leave their spouse in their time of death before they pass? They can't handle it anymore? They divorce them right in the midst of it. For quite some time, I've been watching one of my best friends be a caregiver for his wife as she's approaching the end of her life. At this very moment, Dan, he's a friend of all of ours. Watching him do this has been such a huge example of what it looks like to live for Christ as a living sacrifice, serving his wife to the end. Now understand, if Elvis Presley was nearing the end of his life and he said, "Hey, I'd like someone to come and be a caregiver for me as I am about to pass," don't you know all those screaming women would have been happy to go do that for him? Why? Because they worshiped him. Maybe for the money, I don't know. They worshiped him. They weren't worshiping God. You see, that's a completely different story than Dan caring for his wife as she nears her death. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he wasn't worshiping them. He was worshiping God. And when you worship God, you serve in love. When you worship an idol, you serve in lust. Let that sink in. When you worship God, you serve in love. When you worship man, you serve in lust. What can they do for me? Worshiping him purifies your motives. Worshiping him is a sacrifice of love. Worshiping him frees you from your own needs and desires. Worshiping him is a whole new experience in life. And as Mina can attest, he's a living God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a merciful God. Worshiping a man or a woman means you need their approval. Worshiping a stick or a car leaves you wanting more. Anybody ever tried that? It rusts out, doesn't it? Worshiping a false god leaves you empty because you know they're not real and they can't hear you. Worshiping yourself leaves you empty, lonely, and broken. God says, "Worship me and your life will come together. Your life will make sense. Give it all. Live as a living sacrifice. It's acceptable to me for you to live as a living sacrifice for me, and it's reasonable for you to do that." Worshiping God, the living God, making yourself a living sacrifice is the most fulfilling thing you can do on planet Earth. When you see people giving in the offering, they're saying, "God, here's my trust in you. Here's my trust in you. God, here's my hope in you." When you see that, in Genesis, there's the story of two brothers. They presented their offerings to God. You know the story, Cain and Abel. Scripture says, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. God looked at it and God called Cain out on it. And you see, God can tell when a sacrifice is from the heart. That's what it's about. That's why we give. That's why we do this. Not so that we can have bigger and better and the church and all of that. We do it because this is our sacrifice to God. Abel looked at his offering as an opportunity to lavish love on God, to show God he worshiped him. So let's end with this. When is the last time you worshiped God to the pain? When is the last time it pained you to worship God? When did you give him your time to the pain? When's the last time you remained faithful and it hurt? You missed out on something. There were times that Jesus' disciples looked at him and said, "Man, we don't understand what you just taught. It doesn't make sense to us, but we're going to follow you anyway." It hurt. When's the last time that you made an offering to the pain? When is the last time you helped somebody or did something for God in helping him to the pain? When did you publicly stand up for Jesus to the pain? When did you tell someone about Jesus in your life to the pain? When's the last time you worshiped him to the pain? Mina, let me ask you, is it far better serving Jesus than an unknown God? Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. To the pain. Always, always. James David, would you come? I want to read scripture to you as we conclude. You see, worshiping him is not just coming in on Sunday morning and raising your hands. Worshiping him is not just getting some banners and running around the church. It's pretty exciting if it happens, right? And we all know that worshiping him is not found in a tambourine. Worshiping him is found in being a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Jesus said this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne." Boy, envision that. "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?' They didn't even know they did these things for Jesus. Why? Because they were just living sacrifices. They were just doing the stuff and didn't realize it. The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, be prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't look after me.' They will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did we see you like this?' He will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." We have to remember, when we do things as unto the Lord, we aren't worshiping these people. We're worshiping him. Listen, when you serve your husband or your wife, you're doing it to the Lord. You're not worshiping them. You're worshiping him. When you take care of one another, we're worshiping him. When you help someone in need, you're worshiping him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what we've heard today. Thank you that you are the one and only for us to worship. Thank you, God, for reaching from heaven's beautiful place and always wanting to have a relationship with us and what you've done in Mina's life. Thank you for the gift of life that you've given her and all of us. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and today we choose to love one another in honor of you. We choose to serve one another in honor of you. And God, we ask you to help us to worship you and you alone. That Father, as this world has tempted us to go the wrong directions in life, that God, you would help us to stay the course, fight the good fight to the end, to know that you're our God. So today, we choose you. You're our God. We want to walk with you and serve you in spirit and in truth. Thank you that we can become living sacrifices for you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe there's somebody here today that needs to accept Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe you need to rededicate your life, or maybe you're online and you'd like to do that. Right where you are, just talk to him. Jesus, I invite you into my life. Thank you that you want me to have a relationship with you. I accept that, and I want to get to know who you are, what you like, and what you don't like. And God, confirm in my spirit with peace. You have entered my soul. You've entered my life. I'm your child now. Thank you for that. Thank you. I repent of my sin, and I want to change my life for you. I want to be that living sacrifice and worship you and you only. In Jesus' name. Now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in here and you made that commitment to God today, right where you are, just want you to look up at me until my eyes catch yours. Amen. Amen. Amen.